Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the doctor's opinion on page XXVII. And we're going to read five little paragraphs today. It starts with a very short one at the top, which says, "The doctor writes," and then ends with, "Outside our synthetic knowledge." We're going to unpack that one today. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Karen K., The 12 Traditions, Margaret N. Reading the text today in support is Laura R., Leslie M., Kara L., Newcomer greeter and sponsor detailer is Elaine B. Listen for her, and then Robin P. will give announcements at the end of the meeting. Stick around for the full hour, please. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be for August 3rd, 2020, 15094, 15,094. And then for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting today, Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, is 15099, 15,099 for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting this morning. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen K. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. My name is Karen from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the compulsive overeater and practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Karen R. I will now ask Margaret N. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everybody. This is Margaret N., a very grateful compulsive overeater in recovery in Loomis, California. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for this opportunity to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Margaret N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And I'd like to point out this is the star 1 key function only, please, for the option of muting. And just to let you know that each person except for the only one that's speaking will be muted. And so if you think that you're standing open waiting for the next turn in line, check your phone because it will be muted just for the quiet needs of the recording purposes. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the doctor's opinion on page XXVII. We're going to start at the top there, that first short paragraph. The doctor writes, read through 5 paragraphs, ending with outside our synthetic knowledge. And I'd like to ask Laura R. to please unpack those paragraphs, please, for the directions for recovering there, and then share on that for 3 minutes, and then we'll open it up for the rest of the fellowship to comment. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The doctor writes, "The subject presented in this book seems to me to be of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcohol addiction. I say this after many years' experience as medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcoholic and drug addiction. There was, therefore, a sense of real satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in such masterly detail on these pages. We doctors have realized for a long time that some form of moral psychology was of urgent importance to alcoholics, but its application presented difficulties beyond our conception. What with ultra-modern standards, our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good that lie outside our synthetic knowledge." Whew, a lot going on in these paragraphs. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be amongst all of you. And man, I was just thinking this morning, it was kind of funny right before this meeting started. My husband and I were having a conversation about something that we're possibly going to do, or I am interested in doing. And as we were discussing it, I wasn't necessarily discussing it. I was actually getting defensive, and because I already have made up my mind. And what's interesting to think is that for me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind to a new experience is difficult. And here's this doctor who has been, you know, for years working with, as a medical director, working with alcoholics and drug addiction, and having the way that they do it, you know, their science, the science backing, the facts, the proof, you know, and this is the way it's going to go, to allow alcoholics, you know, just men who have suffered from this, you know, the mental obsession, the allergy of the body, to come in and say, hey, can I maybe give it a try? What? Like, I don't think so. But here's this man, you know, and I don't mean to do a spoiler alert, but on the other page, I just love this paragraph. If any feel that as psychiatrists directing a hospital for alcoholics, we seem appear somewhat sentimental, let them stand with us on the firing line, see the tragedies, the despairing wives, the little children. Let the solving of these problems become a part of their daily work and even their sleeping moments. And the most cynical will not wonder that we have accepted and encouraged this movement. You know, wow. Like, I couldn't imagine to try to be years on end. What I heard, I have it in one of my big books, is that working with Dr. Silkwork, working with alcoholics and drug addicts, he had a 2% success rate. But when Bill came in and did the work, they had a 75 to 85% success rate. That is amazing. And if I was Dr. Silkwork too, and I was working years on end, not being able to get, you know, yes, there was some success, but to see the paramount success, like the supreme success that these guys were having, one alcoholic talking to another, you know, I probably would step aside too, because like you said, the sleeping moments, he can't even sleep because he's trying. He's like, what's happening? Why can't I get through to these guys? Because, you know, here's the number one doctor for alcoholism. And at the same time, he's saying that a doctor is not capable of giving me what I need, which is a spiritual experience. I heard Harlan say this once, and I'm going to read it, which is absolutely wonderful. He says, it switches the words a little bit in one of the paragraphs that we just read, and it says, we doctors have realized for a long time that some form of spiritual experience was of urgent importance to alcoholics, but its application presented difficulties beyond a doctor's conception. With doctors' modern standards, doctors' scientific approach to everything, we doctors are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of God that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura R. The lines are now open for additional comments on those paragraphs, page XXVII, the doctor's opinion. And it starts out with the doctor writes and ends with outside our synthetic knowledge. And we do value your experience very, very much, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have an experience, a chance to share their experience as well. We do have over 200 people on the line today. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I would love to put you down in the lineup.
Hi, this is Susan C.
Hi, Susan C.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Suri C.
Suri C. Just a reminder, star one will unmute your phone.
Scott R.
Dev E.
Scott R. Dev E.
Elaine G.
Elaine G. Okay, sounds good. This is what we have, our fresh new group of people that haven't shared for 3 days. That's awesome. Susan C., Bruce E., Suri C., Scott R., Deb E., and Elaine G. Anxious to hear from you, Susan C. Your 3 minutes start now.
Thank you. Well, I love this paragraph. It's so powerful. You know, it was like his experience, strength, and hope that he went through that process, and it looks like he surrendered. So for me, it's like I went to therapists, I went to nutritionists, online courses, you name it. And, you know, I just kept struggling. And since I've been listening to the meetings, I have a peace that I never had before. I had let go of like that shame also, because it was like, here, there's a solution, and you hear people experience strength and hope. So I'm just so grateful for this, and just being able to admit, and that's what he did. He admitted that he couldn't do it without, you know, power to apply the powers of good. And he just didn't have the knowledge, and that's very humbling. And so same applies to me, you know, and I've been doing, and in this field of nutrition and wellness for years and years and years. And I have a lot of great things to share with people. And but I feel like recovery is a very particular subject and best left to people who have really that experience, strength and hope in recovery. So thanks.
Thank you, Susan C. Bruce E., it's your turn. And then after that will come Suri C. Hi, Bruce.
Thank you. Bruce E., recovered in Southwest Florida. Well, this paragraph's here tremendous, as well as this whole chapter, doctor's opinion. The doctor admits here, right, that, well, he has tremendous credentials, you know, head psychologist, I think it is, of one of the biggest hospitals in the country. And so he's got the credentials, he's got the background, everything, education. But he admits here that you need to apply this moral psychology. And then the question comes up, you know, what is that? Well, I guess that's what we're doing. You know, I assume that this is moral psychology. If it was just psychology, maybe that wouldn't work. If it's just morals, maybe that wouldn't work. It needs to be the combination. Seems like that's the steps in the program and what we're doing. So beginning this chapter, it's really good that, well, first Bill mentions, and then the doctor goes into it thoroughly about the allergy and the phenomenon of craving. And every time I talk to somebody about this book and start reading through this, if it's their first time reading it or first time really hearing it and studying it, that really clicks with them about the allergy, that I'm allergic to specific foods or eating or food behaviors. And so I get a physical allergic reaction to that. And that sets up the phenomenon of craving. So I'm just destroying myself, you know. So for 25 years, I'm doing that. You know, I'm eating the alcoholic foods. I can't figure out what's, you know, why I keep going into this phenomenon of craving and slipping. And it's just what this doctor has discovered, and he's telling us in this book here, in this chapter. And I guess I've studied this chapter the most of any in the big book. And the reason being that when I got into Vision 3 years ago and got a sponsor, a real kick butt sponsor, and every time I relapsed, I went back to the beginning of the doctor's opinion. And so not that I really wanted to keep studying this doctor's opinion, but just that I needed to, because I wasn't getting it. You know, I wasn't getting step one. And of course, it's all about step
time.
One all through here. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. Next up, Suri C., followed by Scott R.
Hi, this is Suri C., compulsive overeater, not recovered. working with a sponsor, she asked me to look at the doctor's opinion and ask people what the doctor's opinion means to them. And I I'm so profoundly moved by it. And that's the thing, right? I have to take action. Dr. Silkworth, what somebody shared earlier about 2% success rate, an oldest hospital in the country treating 2%, you know, treating alcoholics with a 2% success rate. That means that he was dealing with the possibility of knowing that the hospital might close. What kind of a hospital stays open, even if it's the oldest hospital, with a 2% success rate? And then to hear the amount of recovery that happened once Bill started sharing his ideas and giving service. And, you know, there was therefore a sense of real satisfaction. I love how the Big Book is so careful. Every word, people were so careful with the words that they chose when they spoke. Satisfaction, not pride. Satisfaction because he chose humility over pride. He chose an idea that didn't occur to him, that seemed outside of his scientific knowledge, that could have, you know, that definitely took a shot from his pride to do it, to say, well, I'm the expert here, and here you're the drunk, you're the person I'm helping, and yet somehow you recovered without me, somehow you recovered, and you want to share this crazy idea? And then to watch in awe as it happened. Moral psychology, the spiritual solution, good God. I mean, I am going through a lot, and I had somebody again last night come over to find out something new that's going on in my life, and they insisted on coming over right away and went through every single situation in every single trick under the book to try to get me to share details, which I didn't feel comfortable sharing with her, about what's going on in my life. And you know what happened? She walked away with her tail between her legs. And I don't have pride that happened. I have satisfaction only because it was my higher power that helped me get through it. It was my higher power that helped me answer, like, Suri, like, are you taking medication? And I'm like, no, I'm not, thank you. I'm just worried that you're going to go crazy, that you're going crazy. And I'm like, I'm fine, thank you. I'm not fine. I'm sick. I'm working to recover day by day just by showing up. And so I have to not only show up, but speak up today. And I'm so grateful for this line and for the recovery on these lines. Thank you for sharing it with me. And that I pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Let's see. We're going on to Scott R. now. Scott R., your 3 minutes.
Thank
and then
much.
After that, it'll be death. Hi.
Thank you very much. This is Scott R., chronic compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, aspiring towards recovery. Working with a sponsor and moving on to step 9, hopefully this week. The two things that, just in my short experience in the program, that jumped out at me was the use of the term moral psychology instead of spiritual awakening or spiritual experience, and just that the doctor could not, from that scientific frame, chose the term moral psychology. And I think when I started, that would have been a more appealing term to me. And just embracing that this is a spiritual issue and a spiritual need and a spiritual experience that I need to have. And, grateful just for that reframing for me. And the other piece is just, actually, I'd never heard this statistic that the doctor's hospital is only 2% successful, which is pretty horrendous that it was still open. But that, just the shame that I felt around being overweight and having somebody who's authority in this and doesn't have the problem that I do, and just kind of being oppositional defiant about it and just pushing back and just not feeling good with that conversation, and just the power and authority of experience and how important that's just been for me, of just talking to somebody who kind of gets what the struggle is and isn't an expert but is a mentor and a friend, has been a real boost too. So really grateful for this line, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Scott R. Next up is Deb E., and then after Deb, Elaine G.
Good morning. This is Deb E., recovered in Southern California. And this passage just right away, like it's already been shared, just makes me think of how humble Dr. Silkworth was. Just lots and lots of humility. And recognizing that applying a system that works, that is spiritual in nature, was beyond his scope and beyond the scope of doctors at that time. Even with, I like how they say, ultra-modern standards, and, you know, compared to today, where it's so much more modern, right, because we're over 80 years later, and still the solution today is spiritual in nature and a reliance on higher power. So it's amazing how that hasn't changed, you know, even with more advances in science and technology and medicine. The solution still remains the same. The solution presented in this book is still applicable and it still works. And the sense of real satisfaction, it just seems like he's honored to be a part of this. Like, and again, it just brings me back to thinking of how humble he was to say, like, you know, he seems so pleased and honored to be a part of this like amazing discovery. And this amazing solution that was brought to his attention. And then the last thing I want to share on is this, I kept kind of going back to this word synthetic or synthetic knowledge. And I was just looking it up and it says synthetic, I think in this instance is, the definition I found is attributing to a subject something determined by observation rather than analysis of the nature of the subject. So I think the way I understand it is they're observing, you know, the Dr. Silkworth and the other doctors at the time, they're saying, like, you know, we're observing how this is working, how this works, but our system does not help fully recover alcoholics. I think that's all I have to say for today. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. Just wanted to say one more time before we call up Elaine G that we do value all of your experience and your sharing. However, if you would please limit your share to every third day on all of the Big Book study meetings, that will allow other folks to have an opportunity to be able to share too. We have over 200 people on this phone line. And in the 7 a.m. meeting, they have over 450 to 500 people on that phone line. And we only have about, you know, 15 spots for people to share each day. So that becomes pretty paramount to be considering that of other folks as well. So if you haven't shared, I'm going to open up the lines right after Elaine's 3 minutes to additional people to comment on the doctor's opinion, page XXVII. We're unpacking 5 short paragraphs that are powerfully packed, beginning with the doctor writes and ends with outside your synthetic knowledge. And then for now, we'll open up the 3 minutes for Elaine G. Elaine G., if you're there, press star 1. If not, we can move to opening up the lines for additional comment. Okay, so we're going to take that as that, and I'd like to then open an invitation for additional comments on that, on those 5 paragraphs on XXVII, the doctor's opinion. First name, first initial, your last name, please.
Patty T.
And what was the other one? Somebody B?
Linnea B.
Linnea. Okay, gotcha. Anybody else? Star 1? Okay, we don't want to spend away those ticking time minutes because so many want to share. Patty T, you want to go first for 3? And then Linnea, and then we'll open up again. We'll see how folks go. Hi, Patty.
Okay, great. Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service, and thank everybody for their shares this morning. This is Patty T., recovered from Southern California by the grace of God. And, you know, these paragraphs are absolutely exemplary of Dr. Silkworth's personal humility and professional humility. But that term, synthetic knowledge, really strikes me, you know, and, you know, when I think of synthetic knowledge, I think of book learning, you know, I think of what I've read, what I know into then I immediately realized a man at a faith-based seminar I went to many years ago, long before I came in the program, who reminded his audience that life is not an intellectual exercise. And boy, howdy, has that been my experience with this disease and this program. I have had to look at my disease from the physical and the emotional basis, you know, in the doctor's opinion, and admit that powerlessness over the allergy and the obsession of the mind. But I have had to let go of any manipulation or any book learning way to deal with it. I have had to go to God. I have learned how to go to God as the solution, or to a higher power as my solution for this disease, because everything else I tried didn't work. And I'm just so grateful today that I have something beyond synthetic knowledge. I have today a very real hands-on experience that I can transmit to others, and that I can go to as reference for myself from time to time to know, you know what, it's not working for me now. I need to reach out. I need to get in touch with God. And sometimes, and many times, I get in touch with God through all of you. So I'm just so grateful to be here, and thank you for your service. I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Patty T. Linnea B., your turn now for 3 minutes, and then we'll invite probably at least 4 more people to comment before we close out the recorded portion of this meeting. Hey, Linnea.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. I'll let you know, though.
All right. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. My name is Linnea B. in Minnesota, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, this letter that he writes just sets the whole tone for the whole book right away. You know, the subject presented in this book seems to me to be of paramount importance. You know, he could say it seems to be important, but he says paramount importance. You know, when someone mentioned earlier how much credibility he has, you know, he's, you know, been at the helm as the medical director of this large, very experienced hospital. And then, you know, and he talks about the real satisfaction. He has the opportunity to talk about something that works instead of the miserable failures that he's had over and over and over and over and over again in terms of long-term sobriety, when I say failures. And that he sets a tone right away that this is a multifaceted approach and that it's different than what they have been doing heretofore. I mean, and so right away there is hope, credibility, and he talks about masterly detail. I mean, these are words that conjure up, you know, ideas and pictures. And to me, reading it, you know, I was closed-minded, even though I thought I wasn't. But anyway, so I was closed-minded and skeptical, because I was so afraid. I had failed so many, many times, you know, depending on my own resources, which failed me utterly. And so I was very skeptical. But so right away, though, reading this, you know, it helps me open my mind and get ready to hear more of what he's saying. It grabs me right away, you know. Anyway, so I'm just so grateful that it is still just unbelievably apropos 85 years after its original writing. I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linnea B. Let's open it up again for at least 4 more people to comment on page XXVII, Doctor's Opinion, the first 5 paragraphs. Can you give me the first?
Danielle W.
Reva G. Danielle W. And then did I hear Reva G?
That's right.
Oh, good. Okay, hi, Reva. Anyone else besides Danielle and Reva? Let's take this precious seconds and wrap them back into your shares, and then we'll see what happens next. Danielle W., you want to go up for three, and then Reva will follow you.
Thank you. Hi, Danielle, compulsive overeater. I'm very new to revision for you. I've been sharing in 12 steps, but for some reason I'm very nervous. I've had just this new awareness this morning based on these few paragraphs, which I never realized before. I have, for a number of years, accepted my own powerlessness and understood, you know, that my only solution was my higher power. But I didn't realize that I still held on to a belief that the medical establishment was going to find a solution for me. And it's through Dr. Silkworth's humility here in saying, you know, I don't have the answers. We don't have the answers. That's just kind of shifted my thinking, you know, that it's time to stop relying on my physician and my, a nutritionist and a dietitian and all this. I keep putting so much power and hope and expectation on sort of this medical community as being all-knowing. And while there are some great resources available through that, the power doesn't lie there either. And to have a medical doctor who was specialized in this field to be able to say, I don't have all the answers, and that there's something greater, that a spiritual path that is available. So I'm so grateful to have found this a vision for you, and I just feel like I'm learning so much every time I listen. So thank you.
Thank you, Danielle W. Reva G, star one, please. That will unmute you.
This is Reva in Brooklyn, compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'll let you know, darling.
All right. Years ago, I'm sure this is still happening. Years ago, I went with a group of alcoholics to the grave of Dr. Silkworth on the anniversary either of his death or his birthday. And there are alcoholics still going out to the cemetery, trekking there and having a memorial for him, I'm sure. Just for those of you who might even consider trying to do that. Dr. Silkworth, in effect, was doing a ninth step, I think, when he wrote this, because he was confessing to the fact that he himself was powerless and that, in fact, his whole profession was powerless. And he was in the midst, I imagine it, as a pandemic, because addiction is a pandemic and was a pandemic, and he was watching people die as surely as the people in the operating rooms are watching them, and it's all these deaths happening. And I think living in that kind of a circumstance brings us closer to God in a way, or makes us feel the level of our power and how powerless we are, and brings us to our knees. And I think he was in all those places when he wrote this. But one thing that I believe is mistaken in this chapter is I believe that it is not an allergy. As a matter of fact, I have it confirmed that it is in fact a neurological malfunction. And the reason that's important to me is because I believe we can't expect people who are addicted to something to come in and suddenly start using it in moderation. Here's your food plan, now do it. And it took me 20 years of failure to finally get to my knees. And that was the beginning of my abstinence. But if I was an alcoholic, I would have been dead, because I would have been drinking for 20 years. I would have been dead. We have to start people, I believe we have to start people off by praying around their food plan and saying, God, thank you for giving me the power to stay abstinent from the last time I ate till now, and please help me eat everything on my food plan, omitting nothing, adding nothing, and at the end of the meal, thank you for helping me be abstinent. Please help me to reach the next time I eat without picking up. I think we have to call on God to help us do that, and hopefully it'll help happen faster. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Reba G. Looks like time will allow for probably three more people to share, Max. If you'd like to give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I'll take three.
Robin B.
Robin B.
Julie M.
Julie M.
Margaret N.
Margaret N. I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks, ladies. We have Robin B., Julie M., and Margaret N. Robin, your first three, you're up for your 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. this is Robin B. in Southern California, and you know, I was impatient twice, and so I know from experience that what he is saying is true, because you know, I'm absent now for, I don't know, like, I think 5 days or something now, but it's different because I'm immersing myself in this program, and I'm like, you know, I'm reading this, and I have tried to, I've brought literature to my doctor, and when my lab numbers came down, because I'm a type 2 diabetic, and I'm working really hard to reverse that. And when I came in from my 12.8 A1C to 7.2, she didn't even care. She didn't ask me what I was doing. And I was very disappointed. But I realized that you know, it's not her problem. I wish that she, you know, understood more. And I think that maybe she's opening her mind a little more to the fact that, you know, all these appointments and all these classes, and I kept saying, they're not doing anything for me. I know all this stuff. I can tell you what to eat and what's the right thing and la, 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 la. But, you know, even with being in treatment and all the strange things that I experienced there, it doesn't matter. The only time I ever experience any form of abstinence is when I submerge myself into the 12-step program and I really have that conscious contact with my higher power, and I don't have an identity. I just trust. And that helps. Did you say time? I'm not sure I heard that.
Close, but not yet.
Okay, sorry. So anyway, yeah, it's wonderful. I wish more doctors were like him. I wish they had more of an open mind. But I know, too, that it's a challenge to be a doctor. And, you know, they're unique. They're gifts too, but I feel different this time. I don't even know why or how, but thank you. It's wonderful to have this, and I'm grateful. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin B. Next up is Julie M., and then after that, we'll finish out with Margaret.
I'm Julie M. I'm a compulsive overeater. And this is the second time I'm coming around with a vision. And the difference, and I relapsed. And I'm back in. But the difference is, was a set-aside prayer. I came in with humility and, well, no, I didn't. It was suggested I do the set-aside prayer, and then I found some humility, is to let go of everything I know. And that was so hard for me because I've been in program and other programs for a long time. So my mind, the pride, just kept coming around. And then finally I said, fine, do you want to die over this? It's your choice. And I let go. And I had a medical condition, a severe one, just very, very recently. And because you have all said, listen to, I've gone through the doctor's opinion. I really embrace this time, the allergy, that if I put something in my body, it's going to trigger me. And I did not want to lose my abstinence. And I was given a prep that I needed to drink. And because I listened to the special edition, and this is being tied into sharing our experience as Bill did in the hospital, KDG talked about that she had been in the hospital, the desserts were dancing. Someone said, you know, what was in the solution? And because of listening to that, I looked at the prep and saw that I couldn't take the prep or I was going to relapse. But my mind was talking to me. So it was the allergy and my mind saying, go ahead, it's not a big deal, it's late, they're not going to get it to you till tomorrow. But I called another person, like everything you told me to do, and I was so scared. And I got a different prep, and I wasn't triggered. And I know, I mean, I relapsed a year ago over this same prep. I would never have looked at the ingredients. So I'm so grateful for all of you. I listen to you twice a day, and I listen to a special edition, and I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much for your experience, strength, and hope. And God bless Dr. Silkworth. Just God bless him. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie M. Margaret N., your 3 minutes start now, and that will take us to the end of the recorded hour. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. This is Margaret N., grateful compulsive overeater in recovery in Loomis, California. And this part of the book, and this especially this part that we just read, I'm struck by the humility and the divine intervention that really was among the founders of and supporters of AA, and the sunlight of the spirit that had to have shined upon Dr. Silkworth's heart to be able to have the humility to, as someone just said, be able to set aside everything he thought he knew in order, you know, for alcoholics to have a new experience and for him to have a new experience of watching alcoholics recover. It just impresses upon me the mysterious workings of a higher power that I don't need to understand. I just need to surrender and let the miracles unfold before me. And this book is one of them, that everything came together that it could be written. And here it is, but 90 years later, still helping and still offering a solution to those of us that suffer. And I appreciate it. And it's humbling to be a part of this recovery. I'm just grateful to the core of my soul. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Margaret Ann. And that will end the recorded portion of the sharing today. Thank you to everybody that shared today. The very profound and strong images of recovered life here and the promise to all of us. And it's very humbling. Grateful to be present here today. So we're going to start the process of transitioning to the unrecorded portion of the meeting. So stick around. We're going to close out this piece by having Leslie M. read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then after that, if you'd like to join together, we can say the Serenity Prayer before I pass the baton to Elaine. Good morning, Leslie. Thank you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you